This is the Cube Show on demand, presented by Ump Sports. Listen live weekdays 6 to 10. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I!
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Cube Show, glad you're with us. Glad you're a part of the show. Appreciate you tuning in here on a Thursday, NFL Draft Thursday. Yes, it gets underway this evening. We're excited about it. We'll talk to Kevin Weidel about it coming up later this morning. 7:40, Kevin Weidel will be with us to preview round one of the NFL Draft. Now, Arky, you and I have talked before about the NFL draft and how it's something that you don't necessarily need to see live because you can just go check and see the results afterwards.
But sure, are we talking about
do you get excited about year one or day one? And do you like to watch day one? Will you watch much of the live coverage tonight?
You know, I'm glad you bring this up, Mr. Kublick. I actually enjoy the NFL draft, and I don't like it being on Thursday. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm not a fan of it being on Thursday for round one. I used to get excited for a Saturday afternoon, late morning draft start. That's what I was into. I mean, I would get my snacks ready. I wouldn't have class, you know, obviously on a Saturday. So I'm sitting there and just watching the old boob tube, ready to go. Got my chips and dip. Got my soda. I'm ready for a full day of draft action because it wasn't just the first round. I like that. And then they wanted to move it to prime time. And I don't know. It loses a little bit for me. Because, like, I have a real thing I have to do during the week. Like, I have a real, like today is my wife's birthday. We have to go out to eat and give her presents today. Last year, I was going and I did a comedy show in Jacksonville, Alabama. On the campus of Jacksonville State on draft night. These shows, I don't like it being in prime time on Thursday. I like the first round. I do watch it when I can. I don't like keeping up with it on the phone. I like watching the draft process happen in the first round because the later rounds don't interest me, not even a little bit. But to watch it live, the first round, I do like it. I just don't like it being on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, actually. I like spreading it out a little bit. You don't jam as much in. Now, what I don't like is because, and I think this took about halfway through the first round, the first time they did it,
right,
is that there's a lot more time. They do not have to go near as fast when you only have 32 picks in one entire evening. So it's going to drag a little bit at times. But
well, I do remember when I was doing that comedy show that by the time I went up, it was probably around 9:30-ish by the time I actually went up. And I remember they still had about 10 picks left in the evening. So the first round, obviously the longest, which, again, you know what blows my mind about this? Don't you think, let's just do the math here. Don't you think that the time that you actually only need the least amount of it, you know, like when they get the later rounds, when you only have like 2 or 3 minutes, Don't you think that should be reserved for the first round and not the latter rounds? Because the first round, you've had months and months and months and months to scout these players. You should probably have your top 50. And whoever's still there, you may still want. You've had months to scout these people. You should be pretty sure what you want in the first round.
I would agree.
Like the fifth and sixth round, I can understand one 10 minutes and be like, who's this guy from Mount Union I'm thinking about?
Yeah, no, you should have it down between one or two or three guys, and depending on who's on or off your board.
Tonight's not the night we need 10 minutes per pick.
I agree.
That should really be the fourth and fifth, sixth and seventh rounds. Because that's when you're getting guys from, Presbyterian, the Blue Hose are coming in, and you're like, running out of guys to pick. Let's pick, close my eyes, point at the board, him.
No, I agree that it is a little bit odd that the time shrinks as you get to the later rounds, and it feels like it should be the exact opposite.
Yeah, it feels like it's...
Well, round five, who's left? 30 seconds.
We just started. I don't know. I still have to write it down.
Yeah, so
I like that part.
But I'll be tuned in tonight. I'll be excited about tonight. It's. I get into it. I like to watch it. I will attempt to stay away from Twitter so that the picks are not ruined.
Okay. So I read that ESPN and NFL have both said they're not going to draft. They've come to an agreement again. That they are not going to tip the picks on Twitter. But that doesn't mean everybody has to abide by that rule.
Oh, yeah, no. You're going to get the picks early.
That means people like Yahoo and anybody not named ESPN and NFL Network are going to be able to tip these picks, and we're going to get a whole lot of Gene Wojciechowskis out there who are just going to be dropping bombs. And, I won't be paying attention too much to Twitter during that. Because I don't know. And listen, obviously we have our allegiances. You're a Steelers guy. I'm a Cowboys guy. I want to know who my team picks. There's a quaintness for me about watching the NFL draft sort of unfurl, to sort of see it progress from pick to pick to pick. I like sort of being surprised. Like, Solomon Thomas didn't go number two. Interesting, interesting. Yeah. I like that kind of stuff. Now, granted, I don't know how many big surprises you're going to get, and the surprises usually come when you get, like, trades. Like, Cleveland wants to come up at number 3 and 12. Interesting. That's a lot of picks they're doing. But for me, there is a suspense that I don't like, which is what Twitter's supposed to do, take it away from you. So that's why events like this, I will usually stay off to Twitter.
Yeah, it makes it more enjoyable, for sure. I'll tell you this, we'll open it up throughout the show today, anytime you can get in. What or who do you want to see your team pick tonight? Is there a player, a position of need, a direction you want your team to go? No matter what your team is, no matter what the player is, who the player is, what position the player plays, what do you want to see your team do tonight? Where do you want them to go? 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP.
Let me start with you, Cubic. I don't want to know. We'll get to who you want, but what position do you think is the least needed? What pick do you have
for the
today?
Steelers?
Yeah, for the Steelers.
Oh, man. Steelers are late. It's way down there.
So, obviously, you don't need a running back right now. Especially in the first round.
I would say probably center, guard, running back. Crazy enough, wide receiver is not really one that's needed with Martavis Bryant coming back.
You got Sammy Coates, Cole.
Yeah, well, that's not the one. But there's a lot of need on defense. I mean, if I had my way, I would like to see Pittsburgh go defense, probably in the secondary, with the 30th overall pick.
Yeah, listen,
and there's going to be good pass rushers there, so I'd probably be okay with that.
The cool thing about this draft is that from what I keep reading, and I read a lot of these mock drafts, and a lot of these people sort of depth by positions. It seems to be, like, only a crappy draft for, like, two positions. Like, quarterback is one of them, seems to be sort of...
Not good.
Not where anybody's really excited about getting anybody, let's say, number one, even though Mitch Trubisky could end up going number one. And it turns out that the offensive line does not seem to be...
It's not a great draft.
...much of a great draft for it either.
Probably the worst offensive line draft I've seen in 10 years, at least. It's not good.
But apparently most other positions, pretty good. Pretty good depth. Running backs pretty deep. Cornerbacks pretty deep. Pass rushers are pretty deep. Receivers are pretty deep. So, yeah. Be a lot of good value picks this time around.
Yeah, I would say next after the two position that you named, probably linebacker would be the next weakest position. And I think we get a little carried away because Foster and McMillan are both top 15 type players, top 10 type players. But... it's not very deep after that. Now, outside linebacker, yes, but I mean more inside linebacker. So, which, by the way, speaking of draft, before we move on, there's one thing involving the draft that I need people to stop doing.
Watching it?
When discussing where someone's going to go,
mm-hmm.
And if you say someone is top 10, top 15, or top 20, if you say top 10, top 15... could go lower, could go higher. You're actually wrong. You can't go higher than top 10. It's literally impossible. It is not possible to go higher than top 10.
What do you mean?
I'm tired of hearing people say he could go higher than the top 10. You can't. There's no negative pick. There's not. There's not a zero pick.
Well, that's what Cleveland's doing.
No, they're not.
It's kind of a negative pick.
First pick. Guess what? That's in the top 10 last time I checked. Stop saying guys can go higher than the top 10. They can't. I'm sick of it. Sorry. I've heard that three times in the last 24 hours. Could go top 10, could go top 15, could go higher.
ESPN.
No! You can't. Guess what? You can't go higher than top 20. Because number one is in the top 20.
ESPN and NFL have agreed not to tip picks. I'm going to see if we can get them to agree not to do that anymore either.
I want them all to stop.
By the way. There's a lot of things I want to get to throughout the draft that annoy me. One of the big ones, Mel Kiper's best available.
You're telling me
you get like the third round and it's like his number 17 guy is still available. You're like, really? Really where you're evaluating that?
But you have to admit there is an appreciation for it when you get to fourth and fifth round because you just want to know who someone thinks the best football player is at that point.
You just look for your school name and be like, man. Carl Lawson going to show up on this thing, man?
All right, let's get to 10 after tweets. Brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Bobby Barnett tweets in, at Cube Show, whatever happened to Leon Sandcastle, dude could fly. Hashtag draft day.
He could. I think he's gotten older by now, so it does hurt him a little bit.
Andrew Alford tweets, at Archie Shea, quote, big surprises, Josh Dobbs in the first round, ? At Cole Kubik at Cube Show.
So Josh Dobbs' name has really... Hold on. You're about to respond, and I want to hear it. I can tell.
It won't take long.
But I want to just say that Josh Dobbs' name has started bubbling up, and I'm curious if that's just because people keep talking and they're running out of days and things to talk about that eventually you're going to get to a Josh Dobbs maybe sneaking in at the tail end of the first round. But Cole Kubelik's response doesn't take long?
No. Now, I will say this. I oftentimes think it's pretty hilarious that scouts, GMs, former coaches, directors of player personnel, whoever, draft experts will say, oh, this is somebody throwing a smokescreen to try and pick someone else. Uh-huh. There are times like this, and not just Josh Dobbs, but all of these quarterbacks being mentioned in the first round, and not just the first round, but in the top five or just outside the top five, that I begin to think they might be trying to trick someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's go back to when the college football season ended. Deshaun Watson was being debated as the number one overall selection. There was not another quarterback that got a first-round mention. None. Zero. Davis Webb, maybe? Maybe. Patrick Mahomes was not considered anywhere close to a first-round pick. Josh Dobbs was considered by most people as undraftable. He was going to go the free agent route. but everyone was confident he would make his team. Mitchell Trubisky was not discussed anywhere near the first round. Now, we've, like you said, talk. And we got four or five quarterbacks going in the first round. I understand the wage scale is different for rookies. I get it. And it's not going to handcuff your franchise, but shouldn't you also try to do something intelligent for your franchise?
And there's a lot of really good football players out there that you may want to consider also. The fact that Patrick Mahomes is being considered the number two quarterback to come out.
You go watch his lowlights, and they are really low. That kid makes some bad throws, some poor decisions.
What about the practice footage where he's throwing where he's not looking but still completing passes? Like he's basically looking off receivers and his own receiver.
Yeah, the cool part about that is you actually get to look at your receivers in games in the NFL.
What?
It's tough to believe.
I thought it was different when you go from college to the pros.
They let you look.
Huh.
With your own eyes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Weird stuff.
That what you just said is about as real as someone saying, oh, Carl Lawson's running a slow 40. He can't rush the passer. I've actually seen him do it. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Can I ask a question to those who are listening? I know it's early, so I'll ask it again later probably. Do you guys really care about mock drafts? Like, how many mock drafts do I need Myles Garrett to tell me is number one? And by the way,
the only reason that I look at a mock draft is to maybe just get an idea of where some guys think certain positions will come off. But has anyone been held accountable with their mock drafts?
No. One of my favorite examples I told you was when Logan Taylor was being projected by Mel Kiper to be the number one pick coming out of his senior year. Anybody want to tell me where Logan Taylor was picked? I'll tell you this. Not number one.
Matt Barkley, Matt Leinart were supposed to be number one picks going into their senior years. Junior and senior year.
I'm talking about straight out. He may have been undrafted.
This tweet comes from @ArdenKey49. 15 hours ago tweets, I am not sitting out my junior year.
Sweet. Well, I guess people are asking. I guess he wants to play. We haven't seen him play, so I guess he's going to find at least somewhere to play. Seems like LSU is going to be the place.
Rumors did begin swirling yesterday that this was going to happen. So I guess he felt he had to come back and quantify it.
Every year at the draft, the last 3 or 4 years, we've gotten this. We got this with Jadeveon Clowney. We got this with Leonard Fournette. Now Arden Key was going to be the first guy to sit out his junior year. Hey, speaking of mock drafts real quick. I had two guys over the weekend tweet out their mock draft for the entire draft. All 7 rounds, they picked the picks.
Listen, let me just tell you. If you're mocking after 3, you're literally guessing.
Ain't no way was I clicking on this.
Why would you even want to do it?
So much work for nothing.
Well, guys, I really do think Patriots cornerback in the 5th is where this direction that they're going to need to go.
Sure, that's where they were going. They were slotting players.
Bobby Barnett tweets in, what's crazier, Watson to Jets or Foster not in top 10?
Probably Foster to Jets. Or Watson to Jets, I should say.
At 6, listen, the Jets are going to have... They have to do something at quarterback.
Do they?
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. Of the quarterbacks available, who do you have the most confidence in being a sustainable above average starter in the NFL?
I hate this. Deshaun Watson.
I do too.
I do too. And I,
at least I've seen that dude do it against some really good defenses.
And I don't. The way I do not want to just end the question in the conversation is by saying he just knows how to win, because Tim Tebow knew how to win but couldn't throw a ball.
Okay, fair.
But at least Deshaun Watson has a decent throwing motion.
It throws a nice ball.
I just can't. I'm not a pro evaluator, and we can talk to Kevin Weidel about this in a little bit. I don't know what the huge hang-ups are on Deshaun Watson and why people think he couldn't become a good quarterback. Because this is a crapshoot.
No, I agree with you. What is it
about taking the first round? Two of them are going to work out.
What is it about Watson that is holding people back? Now, they say he had the lowest Wonderlic of all the quarterbacks in the draft. Awesome.
Can he spin it?
I think so.
Can he read defenses?
Yeah.
Feels like that's what's important.
I mean, look.
Can he remember the plays?
Size, maybe. He's not a very thick dude. He's not a very big kid. So size and durability, kind of an issue. But is Mitchell Trubisky a lot bigger than Deshaun Watson?
That's the thing. Like, I would understand if this was 2004 and we're saying this about Deshaun Watson. But it's 2017. And to take Deshaun Watson at number 6 is not going to cripple your franchise anymore. Mitchell Trubisky ain't going to work out. Let me just tell you this. He ain't working out in the NFL. He will be a giant flaming bust.
I don't think people realize he is running a hybrid spread air raid offense, making half field reads. And, yeah, I would agree. I don't see it.
Don't do this to yourself, Cleveland.
You know who he is? He's Jeff Driskel last year at Louisiana Tech. It's basically the same offense he's in. And he was throwing to Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor, who are both going to be drafted in this draft.
It's going to help you out a little bit.
Yeah. I'll say this, neither one of those would be crazy to me, because I think there are numerous concerns about Reuben Foster. Numerous.
And
the number one for me would be his health.
His shoulder's a big deal.
And he had multiple concussions in Alabama.
Also a deal.
And it just seems like no one talks about it. Now, the off-the-field things are a concern also. I don't think that's the reason he could potentially go outside of the top 10. The advantages that he has is that there's not really another talent like him in this draft. There is not a guy at his size that can move the way he can move and see things the way he sees things. And apparently, I'm going to get away from using the word instincts when it comes to a football player, because I've had these guys on Twitter telling me instincts means this, instincts means that. So how about Reuben Foster has an elite ability to process information while on the field? How about that? I'll say that.
Works for me. Just instincts is quicker.
Right. But there are people who would argue that there are people who argue with me on Twitter that when I see Reuben Foster basically reacting to a play before the ball is snapped, they'll say, that's just good film study. Which my response to would be, so if I took you in the film room for a month and we studied an opponent and then I put your ass out on the field, you're jumping that play before it starts?
The answer's no.
Yeah.
Reuben Foster, and I know you're not going to use it, has tremendous football instincts. He seems to just know where the ball's going to be.
And there are people who would argue with you and say, that's just preparation, coaching, and film study. Which, it does help, and that is a part of it.
How about this? They get film in the NFL.
For me, I'm more with you. For me, instincts is making that study and preparation applicable to what you do with it on the field.
Sure. Seeing the way a guard sets up or starts to pull out of a play, or watching the way a quarterback does something, noticing the way people just play football because you've played so much football and you played it at such a high level, and so many people try to deceive you personally out of position, you know what people are trying to do.
So
maybe it's just memorization. He just memorized everything.
Yeah, it doesn't. I can tell you it doesn't work that way. Ray Sibley tweets, didn't Mel Kiper say Jimmy Clausen didn't pan out, he'd retire? Did he get run out of Bristol yesterday? I mean, Jimmy Clausen collected NFL checks for a little while, so depends on your definition of pan out.
Yeah, and Logan Taylor's still in the league as a backup. I'm just saying, your number one overall pick, Mr. Kiper. And by the way, I've looked for this screen grab for years because I was watching in studio in another studio we were working in, and I pointed to you and it's like, Cole, you seeing this? Because they do this thing right after the draft where it's like, here's Mel Kiper's top 10 for next year. I was like, are you seeing Logan Taylor going number one? Number one? If I had known how to take a picture with my BlackBerry back then.
I think it's Logan Thomas. You keep saying Taylor.
I don't know why I keep saying it. It's always stuck in my head as Logan Taylor.
The thing is, no one knows the difference because he never plays.
That's a good point. Although when Carson Palmer got hurt.
Andrew Alford tweets on winning, quote, Tim Tebow knew how to win, but he couldn't throw a ball. Deshaun Watson at least has a good throwing motion at Arky Shane. Bobby Barnett tweets, it's the Jets O-line that gets QB killed. And Ray Sibley tweets, if Reuben Foster played for someone who was not Nick Saban, would we have the same upside opinion that we do now? I don't have an opinion of Reuben Foster's upside. I know it's not an upside. It's just an up.
Ray, stay listening in the 7 o'clock hour. I have this whole how guys pan out from high school to college to pros thing going. It may not change your opinion, but it'll help answer that little question a little bit.
All right, we'll be back with the early morning audible next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yum. Cleveland Browns will select first tonight in the NFL draft. We'll be talking about it throughout the course of the show. Kevin Weidel joins us at 7:40 to talk draft. Vegas Runner today, 8:40. Dale Jackson, 9 o'clock. Lance Taylor, 9:20. Every morning at this hour, we like to let you know how sports sounded the night before. We bring you the early morning audible.
Time for the Cube Show Early Morning Audible.
Chubb's going to town! Touchdown! I think, yeah! Chubby time, baby!
Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard! It is grand salami time!
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35!
Yeah!
He will score!
Yeah, yeah! He's got a touchdown! Kansas City!
Big news yesterday, Mr. Kublik, the association had themselves a couple of playoff games last night. Did you watch any of them?
I got to watch a little bit last night of the Atlanta-Washington game and some of the first quarter of Boston-Chicago, and then I had to shut it down.
Well, then, Mr. Kublik, you probably saw Mr. John Wall get his fourth quarter jumper.
Wall, now at the point between the circles, 6 on the clock, off a Gortat screen. 4 on the clock. Wall, top of the key, off that Gortat screen. Scores! Scores! John Wall makes it a 4-point lead, 103-99. Wall off a Gortat screen for 2.
Washington beats Atlanta, takes a 3-2 lead as they head to Atlanta on Friday. Is that right? Friday? Yeah, Friday, Sunday, 6 and 7. Bradley Beal and John Wall combined for 47 points. John Wall had 14 assists. 14! Dennis Schroeder had 29 for Atlanta last night. Bradley Beal for the Wizards said, you know what, it's good to win this one, but we still have one more game to go.
Can't get too happy, can't get too high, can't get too low. Stay even keel, stay mellow, and it's on to the next one. And we still haven't, we got to get the 4. You know, we still got one more game to get. You know, they're not going to back down. Each and every game gets harder and harder, you know, as the year goes on. So we got to be ready and know that, you know, they're really mad in this locker room, you know, right behind us, and, you know, that they're going to come out with a bang.
We'll see if they will. Dennis Schroeder, Mike Budenholzer, the head coach for the Hawks last night, said we got to be the aggressor when it comes to Game 6 in Atlanta.
We got to take care of the ball. We got to get good possessions. We got to go stronger to the basket, do all of those things for more of the 48 minutes. And we're doing it, but it's just not, you know, tonight, credit to them. They were better. They made a few more plays than us. But, you know, we'll go back to Atlanta Game 6, and it's got to be us that's the aggressor, and it's us that makes the plays.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, Mr. Scratchy Voice, Isaiah Thomas yesterday for the Boston Celtics. As they win 108-97, three straight wins in the series for the Seas. Gets them an 11-point victory. Isaiah Thomas with the fourth quarter floater.
Celtics by five and the ball. It's in the hands of Kelly Olynyk as the Celtics come across half court, playing with Horford, Avery Bradley, and Jay Crowder. Al Horford, hand to Isaiah, turns the corner, gets inside 10 feet. Floater is up and good.
Now he's not going to keep missing every shot.
Largest lead for the Celtics now, up by seven with 5:33 to go in game five.
Made it 96-89. They win by 11. Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley each get 24 points on the night. Chicago was led by Dwayne Wade, who had 26. We'll get to him in just a moment. But Isaiah Thomas, after the game, said, you know, we're in this position because everybody stayed confident with everyone.
I mean, if you're taking the right shots, can't be mad at missing. I mean, you could be a little frustrated with yourself, but if you're taking the right shots and the shots you usually take and you're usually making and you're not making them, all of us, this whole group remains confident in everybody from the first guy to the last guy. So we put that confidence in the next player to keep shooting, and our coaching staff does that as well. And one thing about playoff basketball, I mean, shots not falling, you got to figure out a way to win. And tonight we did that. We held our head on the defensive end, and it got us to win.
Regular season basketball, when shots are not falling, you do not have to figure out a way to get them in.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Playoff basketball, you have to figure out a way.
Got to figure it out.
Got to figure it out. Last night, big news coming from up north.
Clock set towards the net. They score! Bit of a broken play. The Predators are back on top. They lead the Blues 4-3.
Oh, cool. I snuck a hockey highlight in there. As the Nashville Predators beat the St. Louis Blues in Game 1 of the Western Conference. I guess it's semifinals, right? They're down to four teams in each. Winning yesterday 4-3, Cole. Sorry to get that one in there.
I just love hearing you pretend like you know what you're talking about.
That was Vernon Fiddler with the goal. How about that? You're just mad because I watch more hockey than you. Doesn't mean all of it. Just watch.
You know how many teams are left in each.
That's right, four in
division,
each.
League, conference.
There's four teams left playing in each conference. The Metropolitan.
What are the two conferences?
Divisions, East and West. do want to mention a couple other interesting notes from last night. The Braves are back to winning.
Base is loaded, still only one man out. Here's Tyler Flowers. And the pitch to him. His line, fair down the first baseline, rattling the right field corner. In to score is Kemp. Here comes Markakis to the plate. Garcia running wide open around third. He will score on a bases loaded, bases clearing double by Tyler Flowers. And there's your five. A 5-0 lead for the Braves in the top of the first.
They would finish the game 8-2. Braves back on top. Some of you may not like this. Braves Day Baseball today.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Sorry about that. 11:55 this morning.
Oh, you're really doing this.
Coverage starts of the series finale, which is technically two games in this series. This time, Braves and Mets at 11:55 here.
Here you go.
But, hey, listen, Bama Baseball is 6:25 tonight. So, you know, there's a little something to look forward to. Braves, though, they're back. Finally.
We will be back to get physical right after this. Welcome back to Cube Show Sports Radio, 730 1039 The Ump. Listen online, umpsports.com. Arky, every morning we get to, we like to let people know who's hurt, who's banged up, who's staying healthy. We get physical. Ian Rappaport reporting something you don't always often hear for hashtag Bama prospects. Tight end O.J. Howard received an A-plus medical report. Very clean, complete prospect.
Oh. Well, I mean, he wasn't very physical, so.
Also a good point. We often talk about really stupid criminals here on the show, right?
Yeah, that's what this segment's proud of.
I got one coming up for you, but first I want to tell you about 20-year-old Brody Gary Satterley from Maroochydore, Australia.
That's where I vacation.
Maroochydore, Australia. He was sentenced to 3 years in jail with immediate parole, but was praised for his business skills in court. Brisbane Supreme Court heard Satterley, who was 18 when engaged in low-level drug dealing, charged interest on debts, gave price guides on product discounts and refunds when there were complaints. He also advertised that he had a high-yield quality product, asked for customer feedback, and even put together business strategy meetings. Justice Ann Lyons told Satterley, quote, "It obviously wasn't the best business, but it's a really good business model. You obviously could do very well in business because you clearly are quite intelligent. Can I say that if you actually did some more study, you could really make something of yourself? Please don't come back to court again." Satterley was caught in June 2015. He was under the influence in a parked car when police discovered drugs and that he was dealing via his cell phone.
You know, it's not often that you get the praise for the criminals from the actual court.
No.
Which I appreciate. Customer feedback.
Still going to jail, though.
What's customer feedback, really? Do you like it? What do you think?
That's like the old notepad that you passed in fifth grade. Will you go steady with me? Yes, no. Did you get high? Yes, no. Good.
Did you get too high? High enough? Could you get higher?
Now I'll take you to the dumb side of criminal activity.
About time.
LSU offensive lineman Adrian McGee was arrested on burglary after an indefinite team suspension. Notice I said after he had been suspended. Arrested Wednesday afternoon on account of simple burglary, hours after the university suspended the Franklinton native. Baton Rouge police issued a warrant for the arrest of McGee Tuesday on that burglary charge. Now, that's just the beginning. He's accused of breaking open the door of an apartment and stealing an Xbox, six Xbox games, $1,200 in cash, Gucci flip-flops, and a Bluetooth speaker.
Real quick, they have Gucci flip-flops?
Oh, yeah. After the burglary, the victim was looking through his apartment to determine what was missing. A man, later identified as McGee, poked his head in, quote-unquote, the open door of the apartment and asked the resident if he had been burglarized. The victim told police he is an LSU football fan and immediately recognized McGee, who was wearing LSU-issued shorts with his number on them when he stopped by the apartment.
Wow.
The victim told McGee he was glad that he had security cameras in the apartment and planned to review the footage to see, quote, who did it. Police said McGee soon left, but returned several minutes later with the Xbox and the games that were missing and confessed to the burglary. However, did not return all of the missing items.
Yeah. So you're caught, you're busted, you bring back the stuff, but only part of it.
Yeah.
Want to take a guess what part he didn't bring back?
Cash money?
Probably the $1,200.
I would go Gucci flip-flops. Hey,
somebody else would have could have probably kept that for you. You think he kept, maybe he kept like $200 of it. He's like, are you sure you had $1,200?
Because what an idiot. Team issued gear with your number? Come on.
Yeah.
You get robbed?
Who's asking? 42?
Somebody break in and take your stuff.
Look like it. You think he do a good job?
Oh, no. Somebody gave me these shorts.
Who's that? Cole, I want to take you to Birmingham, where a big announcement was made yesterday from the city of Birmingham. And that's the Birmingham Bulls hockey team is coming back. They have received final membership approval to enter the SPHL. By the way, that's the same league the Huntsville Havoc are in. And they will start playing this next season. The team will play its games at the Pelham Civic Complex and Ice Arena in Pelham, which is located just a little south of Birmingham, for those who haven't been to Birmingham. According to the general partner, Art Clarkson, the dates have not been finalized, but he says, "I'm very proud of what we have accomplished in the last year to bring the Birmingham Bulls back to the people of the greater Birmingham area." Clarkson owned the team from 92 to 98, and he said he'd like the Bulls to retain the name and the logo for the new team. Now the SPHL will have 11 teams. So, Cole, you were in Birmingham during this time.
Yeah. I've been to Birmingham Bulls. What do you remember of the Bulls games?
Did you enjoy?
I do remember one thing. Get out of my yard, Jerome Bouchard.
I'm sorry?
He was a player who turned into the coach at one point. He was known for fighting. And they called him, "Get out of my yard, Bouchard." Local news did stories on him. He was like the reason you went to the games. Don't ask me how I remember that. And actually, I'm not even proud that I remember that.
Oh, it's okay.
Jerome, get out of my yard, Bouchard was his name. And yeah, we went to a couple games.
Do you think the first Birmingham
Bulls... I went
Bulls...
on a date to one of those games.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought it was...
That's the worst thing.
I thought it was big time.
I've been on a date to half of games.
But this is when I was like 15 years old. 14, maybe.
Well, that's much better than what I could do.
But anytime you could get away from everybody else and like be one on, get that one on one time, even though there was another 200-300 people in attendance at the game, you weren't alone. Back with more Cube Show next.